All right, here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, I'll do that. Checking in at
number five.
The controversial Nunez memo has been released by House Republicans with the approval and at the urging, it appears, of President Trump. Now, the memo, as it's being known, in which Democrats and the FBI say the document is misleading, by the way. So it is. I mean, when you read it, I mean, it came out. It was like on CNN. They looked petrified when it was coming out. Oh my God, the memo's out!
Well, because you wanted to digest it quickly, but there's a danger in doing that. And then 3.5 pages later,
and I went online,
a ton of meat,
and I tried to download it, you know, over and over and over again, and then finally was able to get it because the server was it's a government server. Which just tells you how bad that is. The government server couldn't handle the amount of traffic looking for it.
I heard some of the anchors complaining about that, saying, yeah, we're trying to get online and actually get it and download it. But I'm sure they were. It was quite the demand at that very moment.
It was like a dial-up that they've got at the government. So, anyway, the point is, when you read it, you're like, wait, is this it? As a matter of fact, that's exactly what Comey tweeted about
exactly
it after it was out.
Tweeted.
Is this it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically what it does, it claims that the FBI and justice officials were aware that the author of the so-called Steele dossier used to secure the FISA warrant to surveil Trump campaign advisor Carter Page had a strong anti-Trump bias. So they're saying that Christopher Steele was out to get Donald Trump. The dossier was a political hit job dossier, which is what the president's been saying about it the whole time, and that they use that as a they went to the FISA court judge and used this dossier to prove that they needed to continue to overhear Carter Page because they thought he had been co-opted by the Russians and he was working for Donald Trump at the time.
Right.
Now, there is one problem with that.
There are a few.
Well, yes, there are a few. One of the main problem is that can't be the only piece of evidence that they took to the judge, right? So there are other pieces of evidence. So that's one of the things.
We heard Paparetti talk about it. He's been in this situation before. They're typically a 70 pages or so of documents and other substance that would have to go along with that. To think that might only rely on one dossier or one document wouldn't really stack up.
The second part is that in order to bring that for it not to be perjury, there would have to be verified pieces of that dossier. They couldn't bring a completely fictitious document to the FISA court because if they did that, that would be perjury. So now there's that. That might have been the ultimate perjury trap set for the Republicans in this.
Interesting.
Because it's like that then begs the question: are there parts of the dossier that have been proven to be true by and accepted as true by judges? That's a big issue. So there's that. Now, we move on to just say this. I got to play a little tape for you. The president spoke on the issue today. He reacted in a press availability at the White House.
I think it's terrible. You want to know the truth? I think it's a disgrace. What's going on in this country? I think it's a disgrace. The memo was sent to Congress. It was declassified. Congress will do whatever they're going to do. But I think it's a disgrace what's happening in our country. And when you look at that and you see that and so many other things, what's going on, a lot of people should be ashamed of themselves and much worse than that. So I sent it over to Congress. They will do what they're going to do. Whatever they do is fine. It was declassified. And let's see what happens. But a lot of people should be ashamed.
Not a lot of meat on that bone. Just a lot. It was sort of a word salad of everybody. That's like if the kids came in and they wrecked the car, right? And that's the kind of speech that you give to the kids. Because he's not really deep. He's not saying what was wrong about it.
No, and he's not pointing any strong fingers at all. But... Look, a lot of people want to hear the Democratic response to this. Some people are saying they want to see the actual redacted version of the FISA explanation or application. There are
that
calls
will probably
for,
not come out.
I can't imagine, but that's out there. The transcripts of McCabe's talks with the House Intelligence Committee. People would like to see that because there's a lot of varying stories about whether or not he said that he knew that the surveillance warrant was based partially or mostly on the dossier, and if it weren't for the dossier, it wouldn't have been granted.
That's the question. Did Andrew McCabe
central questions
say to the House Intelligence Committee that they would that were those his exact words? That and that's what Republicans, it's in this memo, Republicans are hanging their hat on this notion, or at least Devin Nunes is hanging his hat.
Well, others have come up, they've been speaking out today, others who were in that room, Republicans are saying they heard that as well. And then
Democrats were in that room,
say
they did not hear that.
Correct.
So there's a transcript, thank God, of that, so we will find out. Now, the question then came up in front of the president, what about this Rod Rosenstein? Your deputy attorney general, are you going to keep him?
Does it make you more likely to hire Rosenstein? Do you feel that confidence in him?
You figure that one out.
Gosh. Are you going to fire Rosenstein? You figure that one out. I don't think this is going the way he thought it was going to go. And this was right as it was coming out. I can't imagine now, 5-6 hours later, how he's feeling about this, because it's not hitting with the kind of impact he thought it was going to hit, I don't think. So here is the president leaving on board Marine One. He's walking across the lawn to get to the helicopter, mm-hmm. and this is what the press was screaming at him.
Did you have sex with the porn star?
Are you going to fire Rosenstein?
Oh,
are you going to fire Rosenstein? Will you have a press conference anytime soon?
Oh, God.
Can you stop and talk for a while? Have coffee.
If you have sex with a porn star, are you worried about the show? Happy Friday.
Happy what? Was
Friday.
Friday. Oh.
Oh, my God.
All right. That is American politics 2018 style. Did you have sex with a porn star? Are you worried about the Dow? And are you going to fire the deputy attorney general?
Are you going to fire Rosenstein?
You can actually hear that over the jet engine. That's really remarkable.
Oh, my God.
Can you stop and talk for a while?
Yeah. Gosh. Happy Friday!
I feel like that might be also the way, though, that President Donald Trump's thoughts are happening in his head anyway.
Right. Oh, God, I remember having sex with a porn star. Oh, was that good?
Is the Dow good today? No.
Dow is bad. I feel bad about that. I hope Rod Rosenstein gets fired. Oh, wait, I have to fire him. No, I can't fire him. Can I fire him? Get Sessions on the phone.
Will you have a press conference?
Oh, I don't think I should have a press conference.
So he didn't answer any of those, we're going to go with.
All I can think about is that porn star. Over and over, stormy, stormy.
Making it rain.
All up in here. Oh, God. I don't know. You imagine being in his head. It's got to be a blizzard in his head. Because the words come out in a blizzard. They don't come out in the order in which they start in his head in one order, and they come out of his mouth in another. I don't know. I think it's like a shark. I think because he doesn't sleep a lot. Right? We've been told that. Mm-hmm. I think only half of his brain is awake at any given moment. And the other half, it's all rattling around. I really hope Melania is not mad at me about that porn star thing. What do I care?
What do I care? That's exactly what he's thinking.
Who am I playing golf with tonight? Do I have time to get 9 in before the sun goes down? All right, checking in at
number 4.
A father of one of the Larry Nassar's victims tried to attack him at a sentencing hearing in Eaton County, Michigan this morning. Mm-hmm. Cops immediately tackled Randall Margraves before he was taken out of the court in handcuffs.
Opportunity to save
him. I would ask you to, as part of the sentencing, to grant me 5 minutes in a locked room with this demon.
I have
would
a feeling.
Would you do that?
That is not
yes
how our...
Or no?
No, sir, I can't
do that. Would you give
me
1 minute?
You know that I can't do that. That's not how our legal system...
Well, I'm gonna have to get
Gee. He's father of three, actually, girls who saw this particular guy, Larry Nassar. And, you know, you don't believe in mob rule, but wow, that dad, he just, I can only imagine what he's going through.
Now, she decided not to hold him in contempt or penalize the father there.
No, she said she wouldn't do that.
This is what she said back in the courtroom after the incident. This is him. I'm sorry. This is the father after the courtroom incident.
I'd like to apologize to everyone in the courtroom and all the officers. We find upstanding officers are forced to deal with my outburst. I've dealt with my daughters as of late very delicately. I'm realizing they may never trust a man again. Mm. Then I got to hear that, and I look over here, and Larry Nassar's shaking his head no, like it didn't happen. Who would put herself through this?
Yeah, three daughters abused by him, and he's talking about the lasting impact of that, which is very real in a lot of those cases.
All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one, and then the Canarble wagon will roll. The faster we get through the top five and
finally.
Five, the faster we get to the Canarble wagon. But first, Judy tells us what's coming up in the bottom of the hour from the WGN newsroom.
All right.
Early mornings this winter, stay safe, stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast, Sarah Gendris traffic reports, weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN TV Morning News.
Okay, programming change, Canarble wagon coming up after the top five at five. And on the top five at five, we are up to
number three.
NFL stars took to the trash talk off the field last night for the latest edition of Jimmy Kimmel's popular segment, Mean Tweets. Athletes past and present, including Rashad Jennings, Terry Bradshaw, Peyton Manning, Travis Kelce, sat down ahead of Sunday Super Bowl to read the cruelest moments their social media haters have published about them.
Terry Bradshaw looks like someone who is going to a Halloween party as Terry Bradshaw.
That's a compliment, my friend.
Peyton Manning is the only NFL player that looks like the mascot of the team for which he plays. Hashtag horseface.
Andrew Crabtree looks like he should be playing bass for Prince in the Revolution. That guy.
I find it hilarious that Akeem Tlaib tries to act all hard and when the hardest thing he's ever done was shoot himself in the leg. I'm gone.
All right.
It's a great bit.
This is a great bit. I've often wondered if they're real or does Jimmy write them himself?
Yeah.
Jimmy was in a bad car accident. Did
I
you see that?
That. I was on the way to the awards ceremony or something. I thought he crashed. He pretty much overturned his vehicle.
Yeah. And, he's okay.
He's all right. Yeah. And everybody's okay.
Fox News pronounced him dead, I think, at the scene. all right. Checking in at
number two.
James Corden soundly defeated when he went head to head in a rap battle with Helen Mirren?
I played the queen, but also warriors and witches, crime lords and wizards, bosses and detectives and hordes, from Altman to Shakespeare. The only role you ever play is guy who begged to be here. Poor James Corden will never be satisfied until you find a way to get attention deep fried. This battle is fun. I'm glad that you asked. It's the only bit you didn't find in Jimmy Fallon's trash.
Oh, my. I love Helen
Does
Mirren.
Every late night show have to have a karaoke bit now with a celebrity? Every single one of these late night shows does this stuff.
You gotta love Helen Mirren doing
that was good,
it, though, because, you know, she's Helen Mirren.
It is stolen from Jimmy Fallon, though. It's a direct lift.
Fallon? Seth Meyers allowed? Does a bit now, too, where he sings with celebrities.
Next thing you're gonna see Fallon doing carpool karaoke. Then game on.
There's too many shows now, I think.
Well, they're all sort of, it's the point I think you're making, is they're all sort of feeling the same.
Yeah. I know. I know. All right. And finally.
Number one. I can make a ship sail on dry land.
We've lost our last Temptation.
Oh, sad.
Dennis Edwards, who joined the Temptations in 1968 and sang on a string of the group's greatest hits, has died. His family confirmed the news, saying he was here in Chicago at the time. Edwards, who was singing with the Contours previously to the Temptations, joined the Hitmakers when David Ruffin was fired.
That's what the
And, you know, the Temptations at that point were very, you know, sort of soulful and kind of in that soul pop thing. Mm-hmm. And then what was interesting, I think, about Dennis Edwards is he brought that kind of that late 60s energy and kind of screamy energy, like anger kind of thing to the whole deal. Mm-hmm. Right. Which also, by the way, he had to replace. It was gritty. Right. Mm-hmm. And then they had their biggest hit of all. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. All he left us was alone. Dennis Edwards was 74.